Skater boy. Oh, kickflip! Nailed it. Whew. Ah. You know, today's guest knows way more about this business than I do, so let's grind this intro to a halt and ollie on over to Authentic Avenue. Vans, a worldwide name in skate, surf, BMX, and more, the brand is a must-have for anyone feeling off the wall. Meet Nick Street. From organizing events and being a self-proclaimed vandal in Germany to working with Vans worldwide, he knows a thing or two about communicating with what he and the brand calls the expressive creator. Today, we talk about how to enable that creativity externally, how Nick learns from the godfather of grassroots marketing internally, and how a mentality with a peculiar name can teach you to care more. So get your helmet on and listen in as I get real with Vans and Nick Street. All right, now admittedly, I'm not a big shoe buff, but the first pair of shoes that I went out and got because I thought they made me look cool came from a brand which is on the show today. I'm here with Nick Street from Vans. Nick, thank you so much for joining me. How you doing?
Hi, Adam. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. And thanks to the brand for bringing me into what I thought was cool back when, gosh, I don't know how old I was, 11. And it wasn't me buying them. It was me begging my parents to get me them. And what it ended up being was a big, incredibly wide pair of black Vans that was popular for skating. And this was interesting because I didn't even have a skateboard. I just wanted to look like somebody who had one and somebody who was able to do it. This is when skateboarding was at a sort of a local high in its popularity cycle over time. But what's we're going to talk about this on the show. Everybody has their story with Vans. What's yours?
Mine started when I was a teenager growing up in Germany, and similar to you, being interested in skateboarding and the culture. And we really always had friends in the US, and Vans was what you had to have. But actually in Germany at the time, it was very difficult to actually get Vans. So I was fortunate enough to be able to travel to the US on vacation, and we used to go to the Vans outlets and I'd get my stash and bring them back home. So that's really been me growing up with Vans through skateboarding, and really the people that were wearing it at the time that I was looking up to, which some of them I fortunately today get to actually work with, which is exciting.
Yeah, that is great. It's always good to be able to say, you know, grow up, oh, I want to do, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I have these shoes that I think are cool. I like this sport. And then to eventually like work within that discipline, I think is super, super cool. So what did your friends think when you came back from America and you had these shoes that nobody was able to get?
They wanted them. And in fact, they enlisted me the following years to bring it back for them. So I'd always have to get an extra bag to bring things back for my friends.
Is that right? Have you ever heard of Benjamin Kicks? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you're not familiar, this is a young man who's made a business out of going out and procuring difficult to obtain sneakers, and now he's got some incredible clientele, celebrities, and all that. But so you were basically Benjamin Kicks before Benjamin Kicks was Benjamin Kicks. That's pretty cool.
I wish I was, but I didn't charge him for it. I did the friend.
Oh, you missed out.
I just delivered them.
That's all right. You kept the friendships, I suppose, and that's important. But today, you get to work with people who put those together for you as a young man, and now are able to pull this brand forward into today. What are you most excited about right now at Vans? First of all, what drew you to work for the brand, and what keeps you excited about coming on back every day?
Yeah, for me, it's really been where I am today, a journey, you know, of being open to a lot of different opportunities and having an open mind and maybe not always taking the direct path. You know, I've always been someone who worked hard and really worked within, I'd say, what maybe was the industry, even as a kid, you know, so I started my career, I would say, unknowingly before I even ever had the idea that I was going to be in marketing or in this industry specifically. I really grew up with the culture that Vans as a brand finds itself in today. You know, skateboarding, snowboarding, music, graffiti is basically what I was as a kid. Unfortunately, I was never really good enough to make it sort of on the professional side. I was always the one who organized the things, you know, and the contests and the gigs. So I'm really in a lucky position where I made my hobbies and my interests my job. And, you know, I've got a lot to be thankful for, but really got to thank my mom here, you know, for allowing me with my extracurricular interests, because skateboarding and graffiti at the time, you know, wasn't really something that perhaps was seen as a career path. And in fact, it wasn't a career path. It was just a creative outlet for me. You know, it was a community and really an extended family. So that's really, really how I got to where I am today. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to do necessarily growing up in Germany. Back in the day, I had to do national service, and it got to the time where I had to really think what I needed to do. I've always been creative and, like I say, taken photos or organized, you know, the contest. So I'm a bit of a jack of all trades. So I actually went and did a vocational BA honors course in the UK. I have both nationalities, German and English. And at the time, that was a BA in arts and event production, which was actually the first event specific course at the time that I didn't know you could do. And I looked at the brochure, you know, and I realized that, oh, you can actually study event and event production. Well, that's kind of what I've been doing all these years, you know, out of interest and passion. And that's how I sort of started on the path and actually had sort of my own thing going on to pay for college and university, running club nights and things like that, you know, to pay the bills. And out of that actually led to directly to my first job. I organized a festival, and the title sponsor, Eastpak, that we brought on board, offered me a job afterwards. So I've been with Vans and VF specifically for, you know, over a decade and a half now, and have never looked back since.
That is such a great story. I was going to ask, after you had explained this to me, okay, so when you were younger, you were organizing events. You were always the person to organize them, and maybe not to the, like, the professional quality in terms of, like, your talent in, like, skating, but you knew how to do the events. Now you get to do that all over the place. What was the moment in which you were finally realizing, like, man, I'm getting to do this for a living, and isn't that cool? But you're telling me that after one of these events, I mean, these folks reached out to you, and they said, you got to join us.
Yeah, it was probably that moment where that was my final major project, you know, and we organized a 15,000 people festival with no budget, you know, and we had to bring all the sponsors on board, and you know, that was a big event at the time. And I think that really sort of kickstarted it, you know. It was sort of the culmination of everything I knew, you know. It was like three music stages and a skate and a BMX contest, and, you know, all the UK media was there, and, you know, we had a lot of people play that, you know, subsequently became somewhat famous. So it was just really putting on what I knew and what my passions were, which is, funnily enough, what I still do today. I still feel like, you know, in the job that I'm doing today, that I get to help out friends and like-minded people that are, you know, creative and from the creative community. It really does not feel like a job. It feels like, you know, maybe a bigger calling for the brand that I get to be a part of, you know?
Right. How cool it must be from the other side to be able to see these folks who are entrepreneurial like you, and either whether they're putting on festivals or events, being creative, to now have the power of the brand to be able to endorse that, be able to assist with it in that creativity, in that development, must be a wonderful way to use your talents. And especially because this is a fantastic way to tell real stories of people who love Vans and everything about it. This is something that I like talking about on this show. And I have to ask this next, because your expertise begins with those events in Germany, but now has taken you all over the place. When it comes to telling stories of those who love Vans and who wear them every single day, how has that differed in your mind between your work in EMEA and your work in APAC and now your work globally? How do you manage all of that? Because it's got to be some very different ways to tell the story.
Yes, and I think there's two sides. There's the human side, right, in terms of the different cultures and sort of your values and how you've brought up and how you show up as a leader. And then there is how the brand shows up and what are the guiding frameworks and the guiding principles that as a brand you put out, and what's the culture that you have as a brand, you know? So for me personally, it's all, and sort of the human side, you know, it's always been about being very open, you know, open to different cultures, to changes. And at Vans, we call that being hungry and humble. You know, we very much have this underdog mentality, and that really keeps our motivation going, you know, even with the success that we've had over the years. Being hungry and being humble is something that's very much at the forefront and a part of who we are and what our culture is. Also, I think just listening, you know, to each other as a global brand. You don't grow to this size without really having a deep understanding of the cultures and the consumer needs. So you have to listen to your consumers. We listen to our athletes. In fact, that's where a lot of our product development is coming from, and we also listen to, you know, what we call our extended family, and they're very much a part of the brand. You know, this is not sort of a top down approach. I would say it's much more of a bottom up approach. And then I would say lastly, just on the human side, and especially now what we're all going through currently, you know, empathy, and with that being vulnerable, especially given, just like I say, the situation that we find ourselves in now, it's very easy to say that you care, but it's really another one to show up and actually show that you do really care. We talk about this idea of family a lot. You know, the brand was founded with family principles, and we've got so much to be thankful to the Vendorans for. And we really live up to, or do our best to live like that and up to that, you know, and everything that comes with being a big family. And then I would say on the brand side, our clear purpose of enabling creative self-expression and doing that through four core pillars of action sports, music, art, and street culture really lives at the heart of everything that we do, at the DNA of the brand. And that's what we judge everything that we do through. That's the lens through which we look at everything that we do and the decisions that we make. Does it really enable creative self-expression? And with that, as a brand, I believe that we're very clear about who we are and what we stand for. And our consumers are responding to that authentic positioning.
I'm glad they are. I want to ask a question on the human side. It's really good that you have positioned this as the brand side and the human side. And the reason why I think it's particularly good is because, let's be real for a second. To me, it seems kind of impossible, like physically impossible for a brand to be like the human. But they have folks like you to bridge that gap. And so help me bridge this gap a little bit just for me mentally, because when I put together being vulnerable, being passionate and caring and human in that way, and then when I think about like what comes to mind when I think of Vans, which is that like action, like high energy sports, the kind of athletes that I see do that, I don't normally see their overly like vulnerable, or maybe I see their authentic side, but it's not for that reason. How do you help bridge those gaps? Because it's undeniably something very important to be, but sometimes when I think of like the culture, I don't necessarily equate the two. You've got to know this. And so help educate me as the leader of this brand. I got to know how you bridge it personally.
Yeah. I think that's a good question. I think if I zoom out a little bit, I think just like being an individual person where you really have to know who you are. You know, if a person were a brand, what is the personality of the brand and what are your characteristics, right? So how do you want to show up, and how do you want your friends and your family to describe you, and what do people say about you when you're not in the room? And, you know, who do you connect with? What is your circle of friends? The same goes for a brand, you know, you will have a point of view. And that means that I think you maybe not necessarily appeal to everyone like a person. You're not going to be friends with everyone, or, you know, neither should you really change in order to appeal to everyone. And in the brand, I think neither should you really, you know, change to appeal for a commercial gain. You know, we are, if you take skate as an example, we are a skate brand all over the world, but that might show up slightly different in a country like China versus perhaps the US, where, you know, the brand is more well known and skateboarding is more well known. So I would say that is, and you mentioned it, it's not just me. We have an incredible team on really brand wide, on the marketing team specifically, that lives these values and connects in that way with the right people and the right community. So we put a lot back into the individuals and the people that make up this brand. In fact, that's who we are. And that's what our founder, Paul Mandorin, has always said, is not that we are an apparel and footwear brand. We're an apparel footwear brand that makes shoes, and people are coming first. You know, we're really a people company first and foremost. We just happen to make footwear and apparel. And I've got to say, Steve Mandorin, who's the son of Paul Mandorin, and is also, you know, the really the godfather of grassroots marketing, has taught a lot of that, what that means to show up every day like that. And I'm so thankful to be part of a team, you know, where that culture is so prevalent. So I would say that's very much how we bridge it. We bridge it through people and individuals.
So you've said now a rather lofty title. I cannot not explore it. The godfather of grassroots marketing, from whom you have been able to learn a lot of this. And you mentioned some specific teachings along the way. I'm curious if a few of those stand out and have specifically influenced you over time, because, I mean, that's just got to be the source of all truth.
Yeah, we have, I don't know if I can swear, but I'm going to do it anyway. We actually
You can. This is just me. This is just Adam's show here, so you can do whatever you want.
We have an internal award that's called a Give a Shit Award. And
nice.
That comes directly from Steve. And that's where we honor people who give a shit through thick and thin, who, you know, stand up, who support the brand and do things on behalf of the brand that go above and beyond just their call of duty. And I think, you know, whilst we honor people with sort of an award, you know, that give a shit mentality is what is really embedded, you know, and within the brand. And, you know, I would challenge you, as you may be traveling around the world and maybe you're going to meet some more Vans people, you know, to really probe on that, because everyone you'll come in contact with, from our associates in the store who are at the front line selling, all the way through to, you know, people in finance or more on the corporate side, it is a really true thing when I say people genuinely give a shit, and that permeates through the culture of the brand. So that for Steve manifests in putting, you know, the people before himself in many things that he does. You know, he always thinks about our consumers, our partners, our stores, those that have really made the brand what it is today, and he supports them. And I can tell you, skateboarding has gone through ups and downs over the years. It's not always been popular, you know. It's not always been a part of the Olympics, you know, the upcoming Olympics. It's been at times something that, you know, people got, you know, even jailed for. I mean, even myself, we used to get chased because we were vandals or whatever, you know. So, but Steve and the brand throughout all these years has really supported that community, you know, and we still do that today and stay very true to that. And I think that's an example of what it means to show up authentically and to be committed over time, you know, with sort of a long-term view to it rather than just some short-term benefits.
Right, exactly. And to memorialize that mentality internally, even through something like an award mechanism is really cool. If I ever have a follow on, maybe feature here with Steve for 5 minutes, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it How to Give a Shit, the Steve story. Now, you know, that will be really, really great. And I can hear it. It's palpable in you. somebody who has lived this culture from childhood, somebody who flew to all the way to the U.S. just to get a pair of shoes. I'm sure it wasn't just for that. I'm sure there were other reasons, but I'm going to say it was just for that, for the purposes of this, for this podcast. Somebody who, a self-described vandal, perhaps, but somebody who now is able to help people express themselves creatively. I'm so excited for what you bring to Vans and for what Vans brings to us. And now I got to ask, I'd love to round this out with just some advice from you. And this might be a little bit repetitive. Maybe you've said a little bit of this in the show before, but I want to cap with this. Because when I seek to tell these stories, the folks who typically enjoy listening to these stories are attempting to bridge this gap that I was mentioning before. It's very easy to come into a brand and throw some traditional tactics at it and look at some sales and say, okay, X input equals Y output, and we're selling some shoes. Oh, isn't that great? And then on the other side, it's very easy to say, okay, I'm going to be all in on like humanity and what's that mean, be values driven, and almost lose sight of the business side of things. After all, you do have to operate, you do have to have revenue. It's been a challenge, I think, especially in today's context, for folks to be able to do both. So if we could round out the conversation today with some advice from you as to somebody who maybe doesn't have the power of a Vans, maybe somebody who is closer to the beginning of their career. How do you instill principles to bridge this gap to authenticity over time?
Yes, I would say, just in general, and authenticity is a big word, right? But authenticity...
Huge word. It's frankly kind of a buzzword. I mean, like, I've done conversations like this over the last year and a half, 2 years. It's amazing where that word has gone and just how broad it is. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we're a youth culture brand, and when you think about what authenticity and the connection with youth culture, what that really means, it's at the heart and core to our consumer, who we call the expressive creator. You know, they're a really sophisticated global consumer, and they can't really be advertised to sort of through traditional methods, you know?
They don't want to hear it. I mean, they will reject it. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, so for us, it's about building relationships. It's about being there for and with our consumers through what they're going through. And that means we really focus less on advertising, you know, in the traditional sense, and much more on providing experiences and content that really deliver on this promise of enabling creativity. So that means that for us, engagement on a really deep level is very, very important. And in China, our consumers tells us in an endearing way that we're the big brother. And I think that's really interesting for a brand that's relatively new in a market like China, that, you know, the consumer inherently understands who we are and what we do and sort of, you know, how we are there for them. What that means sort of in real terms is, you know, our stories are real stories. They come from the community, and in turn, we uplift them, we retell them, and we use our platform to give back in that way. So, you know, I'll give you an example. We have a skate competition series, which is called the Vans Park Series, which is actually one of the two disciplines on how skateboarding is going to be showing up in the Olympics if it happens next year. As part of that, we build what we call legacy skate parks. So, you know, we've built like four of them now around the world. And we built one in Malmo in Sweden, which was in a location where there was a lot of refugees. And so it wasn't necessarily in the, you know, in the best area of the city. It was really in an area where the city wanted to regenerate. And the interesting thing that happened is that when we left the skate park behind, and we left the skate park and the sort of, you know, the big event behind, what happened was that a lot of the refugees that lived next and around the skate park began to get interested in skateboarding. They'd never stood on a skateboard before. So we saw that. We put a skate school in. We started teaching, you know, some of the kids. Those groups grew over time. And we made a decision to actually make that a brand campaign story of ours, to actually tell the story of these refugees that have nothing and found, you know, solace and support in the skateboarding community. That is not a story that you can plan, right? That is not a story you can, you know, story story map and sit together with a great strategy and be like, yeah, this is exactly what's going to happen. But
right. Without seeming disingenuous, I would assume like, oh yeah, we're going to, you know, I would guess in the eyes of a really skeptical consumer could be like, oh yeah, right. You're just telling the story because blah, blah, it's a sob story, but it's difficult. I granted, this is why it's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Why I'm telling this story is, without the North Star of our purpose, right? Without the belief in the support of these communities and the ongoing support, those stories wouldn't have happened. But also without our belief to sort of uplifting these individual stories, you know, we could have done a campaign on any other story, you know, that is out there, and we could have frankly manufactured it. But you're not going to see a manufactured story from us, you know? And that means really supporting the trailblazers, the underdogs for us that are real, that have got real, you know, real stories to tell. And we've done that, you know, over the course of the history of the brand now. And that's why I just mentioned things like our grassroots initiatives, you know, when we go and do girls skate clinics, or we uplift new musicians with our Musicians Wanted programs. Like that's where we mine our story. And for me, that has been a huge part of our success and the legacy of the brand, and hopefully a legacy that will continue long after, you know, I'll be working at the brand, and something that you can really hand on and hand over, just like Steve is handing over that part of the culture for us, you know? So we've got more stories like that coming out. In fact, there is a story coming up here early September, which is much about identity in the hip hop community. We just have some stories out around a community in Poland that has built some DIY skate parks, or the Skate Witches, which is a group of incredible women who are really pushing, you know, skateboarding forward in a very creative sense. So we've got some really rich but real stories. And I think for us, that's really been the formula.
Well, it's been wonderful to hear these stories, because honestly, the spirit that I had when I bought that first pair of shoes back when I was, again, about 11 or so, to me, even though I didn't even own a skateboard, it personified this attitude, this one of fearlessness, of being daring, of being creative, of having a passion for something, and of that being cool. And through you, what I've been able to learn today is not just the fact that you've been able to keep that spirit, that same spirit that I felt, you know, years ago, but also pair it with something which is indelibly human, which is, for me, when I looked at somebody like a Tony Hawk, I was like, oh, he's superhuman, right? I couldn't possibly see something like that as vulnerable, but this vulnerability exists, and it's something which you have been able to educate me on today. So it's been a wonderfully fascinating conversation. Listeners, I hope it has been to you as well. If you're a Vans fan, I'm glad you've been able to hear this story, but you know, for now, and for everything you've been able to share, including that advice at the very end, Nick, thanks for being a Vandal, and thanks for joining me here on the show.
Thank you, Adam, for having me and for having Vans.
Truth be told, I don't know how to skate, though I've tried. But I enjoyed the ride along today, and I hope you did as well. Thanks, Nick, and thanks to you, the listener, for tuning into our podcast today. Be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review on Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can also find me here, LinkedIn, Authentic Avenue, or just Adam Connor, Twitter at Authentic Av, Instagram at Authentic Av Media, and you can also write me directly, adam@authenticavenuemedia.com. Say hello, recommend a guest, or just tell me what you're thinking of the show so far. This has been your host, Adam Connor, saying until I get real again with you, thanks for taking a walk with me down Authentic Avenue.